Hello, and welcome everyone. Thank you all for joining me. Can everyone hear me just fine tonight? I want to make sure my audio sounds good. The levels are loud enough? Okay. So, I had a request from a good friend of mine, Brooke, who's here tonight. And she wanted me to be speaking about truth. And so I thought I would speak about that for the next little bit. And feel free to post a question or ask a question on the message board or raise your hand, and I'd be happy to answer a question. I think one of the beautiful things about this is that I can feel all of your presences as we begin to sit together. It's important for us to come together in this way and to really acknowledge what it is that we are doing and to be willing to put everything down, be willing to stop and to come here into the presence of peace. You know, one of the shortcomings or the shadow sides of the internet and being so connected all the time is that so many teachings are available to us, and it's easy just to not pay that much attention, just to always be playing something in the background, but at the same time not being fully engaged with it. And one of the gifts that my teacher gave me is he demanded a commitment from us. So every Wednesday we would sit for 3 hours. Every single Wednesday. It didn't matter if it was our birthday, it didn't matter if it was Christmas, and it didn't matter if we had other things to do. We sat every Wednesday for 3 hours for 20-something years. And then for about half that time, we would sit every Wednesday for 3 and every Sunday for 3. And then after class on Sundays, we'd spend the whole day, working and building the temple or working on the retreat grounds. And, if you were someone like me, you were there almost 7 days a week, not just the 2 days. But when we begin to open to this question of what is the truth, of course, we're not speaking about a philosophical truth. We're not speaking about what we think is the truth, but our opinion of what the truth should be. We are opening to something profound. Truth is a direct experience. Just like everything we speak about, it becomes meaningless unless we are speaking about it from the perspective directly. And so before we dive in to the subject of truth, let us make sure that our hearts, our minds, our receptivity is awake and open to the actual transmission of truth. So I invite you all to open your crown chakras. Open the space of the mind, the space of the throat, the space of the heart, the space of the belly and the solar plexus. And be willing to receive the truth. And even as I sit here this evening, and open in this way, I begin to feel an intensity. A depth of experience pouring down into me. And so I invite you to join me. To join me in this receiving, this willingness to receive the truth. And to be crystal clear here, the truth is not my words. Words can only take us so far. Words are something that comes from our humanity, which can easily be confused. But I invite you to be receptive, to ask God, to ask life, to ask the intelligence of the universe, will you reveal yourself to me? Will you reveal yourself to me? And so often the way God truly reveals herself to us is through a receptivity in each of the chakra centers. So again, we can start this evening with a mini meditation of opening the crown, closing the eyes, letting go of every thought, every concern. Let us especially make sure we are letting go of our mentality, our human mentality, our human intellect. And be willing simply to receive. Simply to receive. Now each day when I sit before a student or an individual, I scan their consciousness and see where they are aligned. And numerous times each day, I say, step out of your mind. Step out of the mind. And so in this moment, I invite you to bring your awareness to the crown chakra. Feel it lighting up. Feel it opening. Adopt an attitude of receptivity. Focus on feeling, on receiving, not on thinking. And so if we include the third eye, you feel the space in the center of your forehead, but back 3 inches. You can even step back further than 3, between 3 and 6 inches. Where we fall into this deep presence of quietude. Space of absolute silence. And so to know the truth, we must be willing to surrender our mind. To step back into a place, into a true mind that can know, that can receive the truth, whose very nature is the truth. And so if you are following me on this inward journey, you begin to notice a depth of silence, but simultaneously, an absolute receptivity, an absolute radiance and aliveness. I was guiding a student the other day in this. She said, "Craig, something is really happening here." I said, "Yes, well, I hope so, if we're doing it correctly." We're stepping into this presence. It's like stepping into a cave. And so, of course, we're opening the throat chakra as well. Opening the heart. Allowing this descent of grace to come down from above. Down through the crown. Filling the space of the mind and the third eye. Descending down through the throat. Into the space of the heart and lighting up your very heart. To know the truth is to know God. To know the truth is to know God. And the only way to know God is to experience God. We're not thinking about God. We are experiencing directly. So we're opening to receiving. And so if we want to know the direct experience of God in this moment, you open to her. You receive her. If you want to know the direct experience of your true nature, you open to yourself, you receive yourself. When I go and visit with my Satguru, the great Mata Amaritamandamayi, which most of you know as Amici, she leads us in this chant. Lead us from the unreal toward the real, into the real. The unreal is our mind, our thoughts about reality. The real is the direct experience of God. Truth is the direct experience of reality. And so as we're opening in this way, we can deepen in this direct experience of divinity. And so I hope that's why each of you come back each week, because we're wanting to deepen in our direct experience of God. We want to receive her. We want to receive her grace. We want this grace. We want this doorway to open and grow. We want our experience of her to open and grow. Now, for those of you who studied Zen before, who study the basics of non-duality, we can open into the reality of this moment. And I've spoken about this often. We can feel the spaciousness of this room. We can feel the spacious nature of our mind. We can feel the aliveness of our heart. We can feel the depth and the clarity of the third eye. We can feel the profound power of the hara in the lower belly center. We can notice the truth, we can experience the truth of our nature, of our original nature. And for most of us, if we are awake, this experience is unchanging. Our original nature is always already perfect, always already quiet, always already clear. But when we open to a higher God than ourselves, the depth of our original nature grows. The experience of our original nature grows. It intensifies. It becomes more radiant, more alive, more filled with grace. And I've met some individuals who've told me they're not interested in this. They just want to experience their original nature. They don't care about God. And while our original nature is profound and wonderful, who would not like to experience their original nature grow and deepen and intensify and be built upon? This is not a transient experience I'm speaking about. Our original nature can grow, can deepen. And it's more likely to do so if we include that which is higher, if we are receptive. And so this question that Brooke brought forward for us, what is truth? Well, the most direct way is to experience it. To bring forward this question from a place of inquiry. What is truth? If you ask this question and your heart is open, your crown is open, what you'll notice, as you begin to feel this descent of power, this descent of radiance. Truth does not come to us in the transmission of a wet noodle. It comes to us with power, with force. I can remember one day walking out into the forest with my teacher. And I was quite young, and he asked me, "Craig, how do you get to know a tree?" I thought, "Well, no, I just stand here and you look at it. You look at its complexity, and you look at all the pine needles on the tree. Look at its bark, see how tall it is." Said, "No, you commune with the tree. You open to it. You experience it directly. And you stand before a tree. You begin to feel its power, its radiance, its personality. Hugeness. You feel it and experience it from the inside out. Now, the human ego is designed to look at things from the outside and then to think about them and try to figure them out. That's not the truth. That's what we think about something. That's our judgments of something. About a month ago, I was hiking with my three-year-old. And we came upon this enormous Douglas fir tree. And I've hiked, you know, all over Colorado, seen many big trees, and this tree was just, it was huge. And I stood before it, I put my hands on it. My heart merged into its heart. My hands merged into the tree. And I experienced this nobility. This hugeness of divinity. This is how we know the truth of something. Through experiencing it directly. It's the only real way, only true way of knowing the truth, of discovering the truth. It's like the ocean. We can talk about the ocean all day long. But the only way to know the ocean is to stand before it, to see its enormity. Then to merge into it, to jump into it, to swim around. But to experience it. From the inside out. This is how we know the truth. Now, sometimes when I'm speaking with an individual, they'll tell me, Craig, I just had to speak my truth. I had to speak my truth to my wife and tell her how I felt. You know, inwardly I laugh a little. I say, well, that's certainly not the truth. That may be the truth of how you feel. But come on, what are our feelings? So often they are conditioned responses. They are our judgments. They are our wants and desires of how our partner should be acting. That's not the truth. That's what we think the truth should be. Oftentimes we mistake our political beliefs for the truth. This is the truth. This is how the world should be. This morning my 16-year-old daughter asked me, she said, Dad, what is this word? And she was reading a book. Actually, she was actually reading a book about, it was about truth and justice. This is the book she was reading. This for her political science class. She said, Dad, what is this word? It was laissez-faire. She said, well, what is this? What is laissez-faire? And I started, you know, to tell her my thoughts about laissez-faire economics. And those were my thoughts about laissez-faire. That's all it was my thoughts. You know, I saw something on Facebook the other day that Rush Limbaugh said something about climate change. Well, these are his thoughts about climate change. It's not the truth. Now, he may speak his thoughts with an intensity, with the power of ego, to convey his message. In his followers may pick up on that. You know, one time I found myself back in Ohio visiting my family, and they love listening to Rush Limbaugh. And I can remember listening to my older brother. He was going on and on telling me how stupid everyone is who doesn't listen to Rush. And inwardly I smiled. I thought, okay. It's one of the things that happens when we listen to highly divisive, you know, political commentary. And I'm not saying Rush is right or wrong. But when we choose a side in politics, we drive that stake down. And when we speak our opinions, our political opinions, from a place of egoic power, oftentimes in the human world, we misinterpret this as the truth. As the truth. But so often, individuals speak from emotion, there's feelings and there's opinions, and it can move the hearts and minds of others. People can think, yes, this is the truth because it moves me emotionally. No, this is just a highly charged emotional topic. That's what's happening. It's not the truth. So if you want to know the truth, I encourage you not to look in your mind. Not to look in your emotional world. But to look deep in your heart. And again, I know I speak about this each week, but there is a big difference between the human emotional heart and the true heart. Your emotions may get excited. They may get worked up. You know, in the past, emotions have led us to pick up guns, to shoot at each other, to have pitchforks, put girls on trial and call them witches because we don't understand what they're doing. It's led us to fight with others, to judge others. But the Buddha often spoke of this word discernment. Discernment is a willingness to drop out of mind and to come into a space of prajna, to come into a space of heart wisdom. Now, heart wisdom arises in a space of quietude. It arises within the space of silence. It's not emotional. It's clear. If any of you have ever walked into a Zen temple and heard the sound of the teacher ringing the bell, ring the gong, this is what truth feels like. It's powerful and clear. It doesn't have that excitement that an emotional feeling has. Doesn't have that riled up energy of a really well written political speech. It comes almost with a silent power. You'll feel it drop all the way down, deep into your heart, deep into your belly, deep into your pelvis. There'll be this inner knowingness, yes. Yes, this is the way forward. Yes, this is what I must do. And if you notice, your emotional mind may have a big argument. You know, sometimes when I speak the truth to someone, I notice that they turn pale. Sometimes they look at me like, oh shit, you want me to to live the truth, Craig? Yes, well, if you're meeting with me, that's probably what we're talking about. We're not talking about just having a better feeling kind of life. We're talking about living in the truth. It demands integrity. It demands honesty. It demands we tell the truth, be the truth, live the truth. It demands we stop lying to ourselves and stop lying to others. It demands that our thoughts, words, speech, and actions are all in alignment. The beautiful thing about living in ego is we can be absolutely divided. We can have 8 different arguing points of view, 8 different perspectives. We can say we are going to do one thing and do something completely opposite. We can say, yes, honey, I will absolutely do that, and then not do that at all. That's the game of ego. It's a game of division, of confusion, of being split all over the place. But to live in the truth takes an inner austerity, an inner allegiance, with one thing and one thing only. That which is highest. And it's funny because oftentimes when I sit with an individual, when we open to the truth together, and the student says, okay, I know my path forward. But then right before our eyes, we see the ego arise. Say, yes, but if I live the truth, I won't be able to do this other thing. And it's going to require that I talk to this person and I might hurt their feelings, and wouldn't it be better if I just kind of didn't change at all? It seems like I'll suffer less if I just lie. And that's the great game of ego, is we can lie. And it seems as if we are saving ourselves and others from suffering. And sometimes that is the case, temporarily. But the thing about the truth is it always comes out in the wash. It always wins. It absolutely always prevails. Now, it may not prevail on our time, but it will prevail on God's time. But when you follow the truth, you live a life which is efficient. And by that I mean you are walking the path quickly and efficiently. One of the things that an ego loves to do is it loves to negotiate. Egos live in this realm of time. It's always negotiating to get its wants and needs first. But in the realm of truth, there's no negotiation. There's only the truth. And the question is, are we going to bow before the God of truth, or will we bow before the God of ego? Are we going to squirm and lie a little bit here and cheat a little bit there? And it's funny, sometimes for the very spiritually advanced individuals, sometimes a spiritually advanced individual becomes very, very good at manipulating the truth for his or her own sake. A lot of individuals in the world of non-duality, they just want to rest in the transcendent truth, but they don't want to open to any other greater truths, more inclusive truths. This is one of the great shadows of non-duality. As we open to one level of truth, we plant our flag, we set up our tent, we put a shop there, and we say, okay, this is where I live. It feels good here. It feels safe here. It feels spacious. It feels quiet. Nobody can touch me. It's transcendent. And yet, all the while, that little voice in our heart is saying, I don't think this is the full truth. This isn't the totality of what we could experience. This isn't the fullest expression of truth in our divinity. And so often the individual says, yes, but if I open the door to a greater truth, it's probably going to be messy, because it's probably going to include my humanity. It's going to require that I'm honest about how I talk to my wife, or how I talk to my children, or how I treat my coworkers. It's going to require that I honestly look and see that I'm just hiding in this one spiritual realm. And so this is very common. I met with this meditation teacher, actually a non-dual teacher from back east. And he reached out to me for help. And he was telling me, he said, Craig, I feel as if I'm stuck in a transcendent. I said, well, let's look at your life. Let's see what you're doing. Let's open that throat chakra of yours and be willing to come down into your heart. Let's come down into your human heart and see what's going on there. Let's see what aspects of your humanity are covering up this greater expression of your divinity. And he looked at me and he turned pale. And my God, he couldn't wait to get off that Skype call with me. He said, no, I think I just want to meditate more. I said, well, what kind of meditation do you want to do? Well, I just want to go into the timeless. Well, you can try going to the timeless. But God is inviting you to come deeper. Deeper into your humanity. Deeper into the fullness of your experience. And he looked at me clear as day and said, I don't want to do that. And then he said, I'm feeling tremendously anxious. I said, oh, that's a good sign. That's a very good sign. Oftentimes what anxiety is old feelings, old emotions. And they are wanting to be liberated. And so when we open the doorway to truth, these old feelings, oftentimes they come to the surface. And they are asking to be liberated. But that liberation, it may be a messy process. It may require that we hyperventilate, that we sweat, that we cry for a couple minutes or an hour, that we release them from our body, that we release them from our cellular memory. And afterwards, after we've released them, after we've accepted them, acknowledged them, and allow them to empty out of our body the way a normal emotion will empty out, and that's normally through shaking or crying, the heart pounding, sometimes sweating. What you notice is within your body, within the space of your heart, oh, it feels lighter, it feels more vibrant. It feels at one with life. It feels spacious. It feels as if there's no more walls within you. No more walls within you. It's a beautiful thing. Sounds kind of like oneness. Sounds kind of like oneness. No walls. And so that's the movement of truth. The truth breaks down walls. And it is experienced as more oneness, more inclusivity, more communion with all of life. A deeper communion, a deeper oneness, a deeper inclusion with all of life. Truth is not divisive. Now, it may temporarily ask that we leave a situation which is not good for us. It may require we let go of an old habit. It's a funny thing. I was meeting with one of my teachers many years ago. He was a student of Papaji, and he said this funny thing. Now, I had this question. I was kind of asking, well, is it this way or is it that way? I can't really figure this out, and I don't really know what the answer is. That's one of the telltale signs that we are in ego, or we're lost in our mental mind, is we have the question, is it this way or is it that way? Basically, we're saying out loud, I'm living in duality. When we have a thought, is it this way or is it that way? That is the direct experience of duality. And so I was talking to this teacher, and he looked at me real bluntly. He said, we all know the truth. And for a moment I was shocked. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm the student, you're the teacher, I'm asking you to tell me the answer. Mm-hmm. And he just asked me, he said, what does your heart say? Boom, there was the answer. There's the answer. It just arose out of me clear as day. Boom. It came with a power. It came with a force. And so oftentimes, when I meet with a student, I ask the same question. What does your heart say? And it's funny because sometimes the student will, they'll see the answer. It will arise with that power. It'll come like that. Boom. There's the answer. And then I'll watch them. They'll swallow. They'll make that gulping sound in their throat. They'll close their throat chakra. They'll go up into their head and they'll start to think about it. Yeah, but, if I live in that way, my dad's probably going to be upset with me. I don't know if I can live in that way because my brothers might think I'm crazy. I just smile. I'm like, where do you want to live from? Do you want to live in alignment with being a pleaser and keeping your brothers happy or your parents happy? Or do you want to live in alignment with God? The truth in your heart is the truth of God. The way God speaks to us, the way God shows us the intelligence of the universe is through our heart. You want to know the truth? Ask your heart. So don't listen to me. Listen to your heart. That'll tell you your truth. If you ever have a question, get quiet and ask your heart. Boom, the truth will come forward. It's funny, I work with a lot of individuals who talk about the spiritual practice of inquiry, of inquiring deeply into something, of contemplating something. And so often, more than not, they contemplate through their mind. And I'll call that, and this is not, I don't mean this to be offensive, but that's an amateur mistake. True contemplation is through the heart. Any question you have, anything you're deeply inquiring into, the key word is deeply. That should take you directly into your heart. If you want to know something, ask your heart. The answer will come directly. Very rarely does God withhold the truth from us. And so often, when God does withhold the truth, that means we are supposed to simply stay there. Because sometimes we'll ask our heart, is it this way or is it that way? And our heart will give no answer. That means we're asking the wrong question, or we're supposed to simply sit in a deeper way. Ask a different question. Sometimes something else in our life needs to move or change first before the truth, the answer to that question can reveal itself. But more often than not, our heart is screaming the truth to us, not in an egoic way that you think an ego would scream. But we know it. We all know the truth. We know if we should stay or go. We know what the best is, what the highest is. It's funny, so many teachers, a teacher, Ajay, he speaks so much about not knowing. And this evening, I'm going to say the opposite. Now, not knowing is an absolute doorway to true knowing. And the only way we're going to truly know is through letting go of all of those egoic thoughts. But once we let go of egoic thoughts, the truth presents itself clear as day. Funny, about 6 months ago, an individual asked me, Craig, is there ever a time when you don't know or don't get confused or you're kind of really struggling? I say, if I'm struggling, it means I'm not connected with my heart. I'm not connected with my truth. If I'm experiencing egoic division, it means I'm up in my head. I'm in the human mind, and the human mind is literally a hell realm. Now, most individuals on the planet live in the human mind and don't realize that the human mind is a hell realm. They take it as everyday reality. But the Buddhist definition of suffering was division. If you want to know division directly, step into your human mind. Is it this way or is it that way? Are the Democrats right or are the Republicans? If we want to know the truth, we step into the heart. We live in the heart. Confusion is a terribly painful experience. And so again, What is the space of heart? It's quiet, it's radiant, it's alive. It's not pulling you one way or another. Now many people, when I tell them, ask your heart, and the truth will be revealed. They ask their emotional heart, and the emotional heart will come with a big argument. And then a couple minutes later, the negative side of the emotional heart will come forward with a counter-argument. That is not the truth. That's your emotional heart and your emotional mind. The truth is always clear. It's simple. Simple in the sense that it's not complicated. It's not always simple in action, though. You know, last week I caught the tail end of the conversation of the group here, Awakening Together, creating a retreat home. If God put this desire within this group to create a retreat center, that is a simple truth. And God has said this many times to an individual. Go forward and build a temple. Build a cathedral. Build the church here. It's a simple truth. But the action of that building, of doing it, of doing all the work, of meeting with the design person and you know, trying to figure out, okay, where do we put the septic field? Where do we do this? And, you know, where does the foundation go? And how big should it be created? And who's going to help us? And how are we going to get the money? Well, that part is not the easy part. But if you ask this question all along the way, what's the truth, God? God, you put this desire in me. You brought this truth forth. You want this. You show me how to do it. It's funny, I talked last week about my meeting with my teacher and, you know, working for him for 20-something years and building the retreat center with him. Every step of the way, he was in constant communion, constant connection with God. How shall we do this? How shall we go for it? Where will the money come from? Even down to the colors. Now, I can remember meeting with my Tibetan teacher. I'm laughing here. I'm going through all the different people I've studied with. I had one root teacher I spent about 20 years with. And I spent, you know, 10-plus years studying with Ajahn and this lineage. And the Zen lineage, and even, you know, listening to his teacher's teacher, Jikusho Kwong. But now I'm going to speak about my Tibetan teacher, Lama Soltra. And she had this opportunity to build, she built this incredible temple here in southwest Colorado. It's about an hour from where I live. And I can remember listening to her talk, and she already had one little building on the property. She had a couple hundred acres. And she thought, I would like to build the temple over here. Kind of like, you know, maybe an eighth of a mile, you know, up the road. And the builder came and said to her, said, Lama Soltra, if you build it close here, right next to the road, next to the building you already have, you will save about $100,000. That's going to cost us just that much money. It'll cost you $100,000 to cut the road and to bring the electric lines all the way up to the other side of the land. She said, no, this is where it's supposed to be built. And the builder pleaded with her, said, please, you know, Lama Soltra, can we build it, you know, right here, right at the beginning of the road, not all the way across the land. And then her teacher came in, Lama Soltram's teacher came into the land. And they were walking the property. And he went to the exact spot where she said, this is where I want the land, where I want the temple built. And her teacher got a shovel as a part of this Tibetan ceremony. And before you're building the temple, you bring in your teacher. And they handed the shovel to this other lama. And so Rinpoche, he dug down into the earth. And he found all these little auspicious signs. There was like a little fossil and a crystal just right where he put the shovel. That was God communicating to them. I can't remember all the little things he found just by sinking the shovel once into the dirt. But all these little signs came forward and said, this temple will be supported with abundance. This is the place for it. This is its home. And of course, the builder, he about had a heart attack. He said, this is crazy. But he wasn't living in the truth. He was living in his mind what he thought was best according to his practical reality, to his practical understanding. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the question of truth, it's not necessarily a question of practical, everyday human reality. The question of truth is, do we want to be connected with the highest expression of divinity? That may not be easy, it may not be cheap, it may not be affordable. And I can think in my life, of all the time I spent with my teachers. And from a practical reality, yes, I could have spent my money a different way. I could have probably amassed wealth. I was offered many jobs throughout my life. I could have made 3 or 4 or 5 times the amount of money I'm making now. But the truth in my heart was clear. This is my life. Follow your path. Give yourself to your teacher. Give yourself to this teaching. Open to God. This was my truth. And so thank you all for joining me this evening. And you're welcome to send me an email if you have a question, just like Brooke did this evening. If you have a topic or anything you want me to speak about. And of course, if you want to meet with me individually, you're welcome to email me and set up a Skype session or whatever it is. If you have a question, just want to communicate through email. I welcome that. So thank you all again. I feel deeply honored. I want to say thank you for the donations that you all offered me. And Regina sent me a check this last week and I was deeply appreciated. And the Dharma is offered free. It's offered free of charge. But it's important to support your teachers. I can remember listening to my teacher last year say, it's good to support your teacher. So that we can keep doing this, so we can keep this retreat center open. So thank you for that. Thank you for supporting me. And so throughout my work week, I get all these emails, people sending kind thank you emails and kind words, and I have students who offer to help me here in Durango, and I appreciate that. The way I served my teacher was for my blood, sweat, and tears. There's some money too, but I ended up just working for him all the time, and so that was my service to him. It's important to support the teachings, to support the church, the sanctuary of awakening together. It's important to support this, to support the truth, in whatever way we can. So thank you all. It's deeply appreciated. May peace be with you all. And I hope you join me going for an opening to this transmission of grace, opening to this movement in your lives, in our lives. If we want our world to change, we open to the highest and allow ourselves to be an instrument of God's grace in this world. Peace be with you all. May our whole world be blessed with truth, with light, with love. Amen.